Blog Talk Radio.
Citizen. My name is Paula Thompson. I'm your host, and with me are my dear, dear friends, Andre Rodatis, Marvin Garwin, and Chuck Thurston. Hi, you guys.
Hey.
Hey, good morning,
hey,
everybody.
Paula.
It's so great to be back. Yay.
Yeah.
Sunday morning.
Got a little vacation.
Contemplation of the eternal.
Yeah,
a little vacation from contemplating these eternal realities and contemplating other ones. That was really great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's not call it vacation exactly. It wasn't exactly vacation.
Hiatus.
Vacated
week,
radio, but not other things. So, yeah.
But not other
working
things,
vacation.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Actually, the opposite of a vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
anyway,
there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, this feels like this is a pleasure. Not this is an unusual kind of work to talk about these topics. And to me, it's a tremendous pleasure, actually.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Isn't it the greatest joy there is?
It's interesting, actually, that you mentioned that, Chuck. You know, it's interesting to think of activities as whether they require more energy than they give, or whether I actually, that's really true. I always look forward to this couple of hours with you guys because I always come away much more energized than I came in, which is interesting.
Yes,
sure.
I find study group, if it's good, if it's deep and meaningful and enriching, it's always like that. I always feel better afterwards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel better after it's done than I did when I started. Even if I'm weary, you know, from the day or the whatever, and then, you know, or the week, and I do study group, and I feel so great afterwards. It's amazing how just contemplating, you know, our dear friend Byron Belitzos would call it romancing the universe. Let's just romance the universe for a while, you know. Romance our creator for a while. Contemplate. It's like Einstein said, I'm interested in God's thoughts. The rest is immaterial, you know. I want to know what God thinks. So, yeah. Welcome back, friends. Agreed. You know, I have a, and I should say today we are in paper 110. We just started it. It's the relation of adjusters to individual mortals. We know if you, for our listeners that don't know or might not know, thought adjusters represent the fragment of God that indwells every human being of normal mind. And they indwell us and lead us. They're our beacon home to God. And we can call them the mystery monitors, the divine indwellers, kingdom of heaven within.
Heck, we can call them anything, just not late to dinner.
That's it. We can just call them. That's the point. Just call them. But I wanted to, and we are on section two. So we already did the opening and then section one, which was indwelling the mortal mind. A couple weeks ago we did that. And so now we're on adjusters and human will, which will be great, I think. Of course, it always is. And section three, we'll get to that, I hope, cooperation with the adjuster. But this isn't a race, friends. We're taking it as we can. And I just wanted to share something with you guys before we start. I have a dear friend. You know, I work at the Urantia Book Fellowship. I've worked at, for the Urantia movement for more than 30 years now. And I've sat at the end of a phone and taken the calls of brothers of the Scattered Brotherhood of Believers, let's just say that. And someone who has called me several times over the years is a man by the name of Brother Rayfield Johnson. And Rayfield is an African-American reader of the Urantia Book, a student, sincere, dedicated student of the teachings, and an amazing poet. And he has a voice like James Earl Jones. I swear. I told him the other day. He said, I don't know how I come across. I said, well, you sound like Darth Vader, but it's great. I love it. And he just laughed. He's in his 70s now, Rayfield is. He is a writer and a poet, an amazing human being. And the other day he read this poem to me. He didn't read it. He recited it. It's a poem he wrote, and I just wanted to share it with you guys because it's so, so beautiful and so poignant. And I wanted to have Rayfield. I don't know, Andre, if you remember this. We tried to get Rayfield on the show years ago, and I think he might be a little shy. And I'm still working with him on that, and it would delight me if we could get him on the show sometime to recite some of his poetry. But this is, he starts out by saying, anti-ism. I need to put my glasses on. Hold on just a sec. Anti-ism is the living representation of ignorance that causes death from the cold within. Six humans once trapped by happenstance in black and bitter cold, and each possessed a stick of wood, or so this story's told. Their dying fire in need of logs, the first woman held hers back, for upon the faces around the fire she noticed one was black. The second man looks across the fire, notices not one of his church, and couldn't bring himself to give the fire his stick of birch. The third man sat in tattered clothes and gave his coat a hitch, saying, why should my log be put to use just to warm the idle rich? The rich man just sat, and though of all the wealth he had in store, and how to keep what he had earned from the lazy, shiftless poor. The black man's face bespoke revenge as the fire passed from his sight, for all he could see in his stick of wood was a way to spite the white. The last man in the forlorn group did not accept for gain, giving only to those who gave, was how he played the game. But those logs held tight in death's still hands is truly proof of human sin. No, they didn't die from the cold without. They died from the cold within.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Beautiful poem.
I know. Yeah, that's for you, Rayfield, dear brother.
Wow.
Yeah. He lives in Laughlin, Nevada, Marvin. So,
huh.
If ever you're going down
wow.
that way.
Wow. How
just
awesome.
A hop, skip,
L-A-W.
And a jump.
Yeah, just
L-A-W.
A hop, skip, and
L-A-W-S-O-N, Lawson?
No, Laughlin. Laughlin.
Laughlin.
Where you've done the expos, the UFO expos for us on several occasions.
Well, he sounds like someone I'd just love to visit with. He sounds like a wonderful human being.
He is indeed. So, yeah, that's just to start the show, you know. It's amazing. I feel so blessed to have met so many beautiful, amazing readers, you know. So rich. It's been so rich. And as I make ready to start to transition in my retirement, I'd like to share some of that stuff sometimes with people. I feel so blessed. Yeah.
So it sounds like he's experienced all of those possibilities.
Yeah,
or
he's...
Or knows something about them.
Yeah, yes.
In his long life.
And his poetry reveals that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he will call.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so maybe the question for us is, okay, how do we turn that around?
Yeah, how do we turn it around? That's our job, right? It's our job.
For all those people. I'd like it to be fair-minded, at least.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's right. It's kind of like, it reminds me of, his poem reminds me of the blind man and the elephant, right? Each one sees it in their own way.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Well,
thank you, guys, for indulging me in that.
No, I thank you for sharing it with us, Paula. I guess two things occurred to me while you were sharing it, and as we've talked about it afterwards. One is, How much it is that we're in a situation of, I guess, what I call early days with this revelation, how these gems of human beings are sort of scattered hither and yon all over the world, really, and we're relatively few people who know about this revelation and have been touched by it, and you've been in this position to be in touch with many of them. You know, and what a unique position you've been in to have that much contact with these all of us who have been affected by this revelation during these early days, and just to look forward to a time when there will be millions of people who have been touched in this way, and what effect it might have on our world. So that was one thought.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thought was how appropriate for you to share that poem, because that being cold within, the fire dying out, is so related to our subject today.
I know.
You know, which is adjusters and human will, and sort of the interior nucleus, or the spiritual fire that lights us all, the warmth, you know, and how many people wander through life without it, you know. So very, very appropriate, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's the light that lights eternity, you know, the pilot light. And if we, you know, I guess the whole, through the whole study, we've really honed in on that, you know, that reality of God within and the warmth within. The love, the divine love within, that we manifest and give to our fellow men, you know? with unselfish purpose and in unselfish service.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah, that dimension of our being, if we go there, that's able to transcend our material nature. You know, it's like if all the people in that poem sitting around the fire watching it go out are all protecting some level of their material existence, in
right.
a sense, as opposed to looking to the, you know, the lay up your treasures in heaven idea, where there's value on levels that are not material, not physical, that are the more enduring and more important. I think our adjusters give us an intuition or a sense of that, or a feeling about that, maybe. It's a better way of putting it. The desire for that, even. The desire to escape our over much preoccupation with. I mean, it's hard though, being in a physical body. You're always like pains and problems. It's like having an old car after a while. You know what I mean? There's always something breaking down.
You that know, is so true.
So,
I resemble that remark.
It could be so distracting from our higher thoughts. Just go, oh man, ouch. It's like, whatever.
Well, you, Chuck, seem to be endlessly young.
Well, I bring it up because I'm having a bit of a toothache at the moment. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, working on it.
That's too bad.
Nothing worse than that,
yeah.
Actually. No, nothing laughing.
Yeah,
enough, no laughing matter there. Is it a really
bad
thing?
One example.
Yeah, it is one
things.
Example for sure.
Yeah, your brakes can go out. You need an oil change, whatever. So, but anyway, yeah, it's wonderful to have this, at least this higher. You know, so I'm really curious to read this fresh and get a better sense of how the adjuster does work in our minds.
Right.
Well, let's beat our record.
Because they say if all the adjusters were, yeah, they say if all the adjusters were withdrawn. Remember that? Did we read that quote already? If all the adjusters were withdrawn, that he would.
Oh, I don't know if we did.
Yeah, we did.
Did we, Andre?
Yeah. If we haven't read it, we've referred to it. That we would
right.
refer
we
to
would
a
get
primitive
there.
State.
Oh,
yeah,
yes, right. And there's another one. There's another great quote in the book about if God should leave the center of eternity, the great and ultimate collapse of everything would happen because he's the upholder of infinity. He's the divine upholder, you know, the infinite upholder. And I love that definition as one of the definitions of the Almighty Ark. Our beloved creator that we all know and love so much from reading this book.
He serves that function within each of us. You know, what are the three things? The creator, controller, and infinite upholder?
Yes, correct. That's it.
Right. So I thought I was thinking about it one day. It's like that's going on within each of us. You know, he sort of inspires our creativity. He helps us to control our minds and our thoughts and our will, and upholds us every day in those endeavors. So it's kind of remarkable to have this fragment of the first source and center actually being the center of ourselves. You know, in that kind of way.
Yeah.
I remember Thomas Keating had a really cute way of saying it. I always remember this. It's so vivid. He said, you know, if it wasn't for the ongoing intention of God, you know, his purpose in each nanosecond, the entire universe would be reduced to nothing but a grease spot.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He loved that grease spot analogy. He used it over and over.
Yeah. Each one of us only exists, and much less has joy and joy abundantly, only because God intends it, you know, which is an ongoing gift.
in our
engagement. We're having an audio problem, friends, and I don't know why. The people on the board are saying they're not hearing the show. And I'm
really
not sure what to do about that. They lost.
Oh, I'm not either.
And they said they are trying to refresh. They've tried to refresh.
You know what? There's something strange in terms of the recording left. The recording left thing looks weird, too. I'm going to just refresh my Blog Talk screen, see what that does.
Okay.
And,
Oh, I see. Yeah, it looks like we're not even on the air.
That's right. Isn't that strange? Well, this is what we'll do. I'm wondering if we should just...
hang up and call back in?
Get off the air. Yeah, but we'll need to set up a new show.
I don't know.
Since I'm the host, I'll go ahead and hang up and call back in and see if that does it. But we've been on, you know, we started the show and all of a sudden, bang.
And all of a sudden, bang. Yeah, try
okay.
Yeah, try hanging up and calling back in. Okay.